All right, but this is a testament of Reuben. We'll start here. We'll read a few as we're just warming up here before we get to the lesson today in the book of Philippians. Okay, for those just coming in, we're in Philippians chapter 1, but we're reading a few warm-up scriptures here, okay, in the testament of Reuben. And he says, "And I tell you that he, that is God, smote me with a sore plague in my loins for 7 months." Okay, and this is, of course, this is the incident that unfolded between Reuben, okay, and his father's concubine. "And I tell you that he smote me with a sore plague in my loins for 7 months. And had not my father Jacob," being the steward and refuge for him, "had not my father Jacob prayed for me." Now we'll be reading some more about that, okay, in the epistles. Okay, Philippians chapter 1 and also in 2 Corinthians. We'll be going over there today. "Okay, had not my father Jacob," which is a steward and refuge, "prayed for me. To the Lord would have destroyed me." Okay, can we just see the bonding, okay, the bonding that unfolds, okay, in the building of the house of God, okay, as the house of Israel, the bonding in that, okay, between Jacob, who is also called Israel, okay, and also family, and the 12 patriarchs, by which we have the 12 tribes of Israel. For he says here, "For I was 30 years old when I wrought the wicked or evil thing before the Lord, and for 7 months I was sick unto death." Okay, he was weak and bedfast here. "And after this I repented and with set purpose for my soul for 7 years before the Lord." Of course, we see the number 7 in there, okay, which is also in recognition of the stewardship of Jacob at this time. "Even until now, my conscience causes me anguish on account of my impiety." So I highlighted the word conscience there because his conscience was yet defiled until Christ would rise from the dead. Okay, so the conscience carries a testimony of one's guilt, which is the acts of your past. The testimony of your past, okay, is not the testimony of Christ. The testimony, the true testimony of the righteous, is the memorial, okay, of our adoption. That's our true testimony in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our conscience being purified by faith in Him. "For even until now," Reuben said, because of the incident that took place, "my conscience causes me anguish on account of my impiety." Okay, you can use the testimony, okay, of the testament of Reuben, okay, as a particular knowledge for the scale which you're also experiencing, okay, the defiled conscience, little children. Okay, this is what Chief Elder John said, "My little children, these things I write unto you, you sin not." So we can see that the little children are struggling with still the tethering of those things of their past. Okay, the tethering of our past is not the testimony of Jesus Christ. The tethering of the throne of the Eternal One, okay, is our true testimony. And this, and he goes on here, "And thenceforth until now, I have been on my guard and sin not." Okay, that is, I sin not against the stewardship. Okay, let's read another one here from the testament of Reuben. Okay, we can read this one here. And this is a real good, this is an interesting one here, testament of Reuben. He talks about the 7 spirits of man and also the 7 spirits of error. Okay, which, of course, would be very involving in a lesson of itself. But let me read it to you so you can get somewhat familiar, okay, with the language and also get familiar with its presence. Okay, as we read these epistles, okay, you can also reflect upon these things here, the 7 spirits of man and also the 7 spirits of error, okay, which we'll be talking about. "Now, besides all these, as the 7 spirits, there's an 8th spirit of sleep." Okay, now the 8th spirit, okay, is that spirit of death, the image of death. And this image, the spirit of death, okay, opens up the caverns of the soul as the individual, as the person, okay, begins, okay, in their growth. Okay, specifically at any particular age, these caverns open up, okay, for the purpose of experience, okay, and also the weighing the value of these experiences. Of course, that's the adolescent. If we can see the same thing, "I write unto you, young men, because your not only sins have given you, okay, but because you have overcome the wicked one." Okay, so we can see that the apostle, Chief Elder John, used the same analogy, little children, young men, and fathers, okay, as we read about these things here, about the 7 spirits and the 8th spirit of death. Okay, besides all these 7 spirits there's an 8th spirit of sleep, okay, which has brought about the trance of nature, okay, and then the image of death. The trance of nature has to do with the yoke with the signature. That's the trance of nature. The yoke with the signature. It's called a trance. It's because it only values the things of one's own record. So it's a trance of nature. Okay, just like the animal kingdom. The animal kingdom, okay, is asleep in regarding the revelations of God. They're asleep. And so are those which are carnal-minded. Okay, the natural man regards not the things of the Spirit of God. Okay, which has to do with the tokens of the throne. See, the tokens of the throne and language of the kingdom of God is very different and very strange, okay, to the carnal mind, because they cannot comprehend it. Okay, if you can reflect back, okay, the first time you began reading your Bible, okay, the Bible seemed to be a very different language, and that's true. Okay, and everyone that began reading their Bible began stumbling. They began stumbling, okay, trying to put together to comprehend something here, okay, that would be of value, nay, to their own experience. Okay, and you can see that everything that we comprehended in the past was put within the level of our own psychology. And that's what's preached in the false religious system today. The earthly church preaches the psychology, the nature of man. And it revert back thinking that if I can understand myself, then I can understand God. Okay, but we know that's not true. It's the anointing that frees us from that trance, okay, and brings us to reality of knowing him. Just like it happened with Nebuchadnezzar, okay, when God inserted the soul of an animal, okay, within the soul of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar acted out that influence of that soul, the soul of the animal, okay, and for 7 years he was under that spell, his mind being alienated from God, completely ignorant of or conscience, okay, of passages of time, which is the animal kingdom, until 7 years passed over him. Okay, when God retrieved the soul, which he put within Nebuchadnezzar, okay, the soul of Nebuchadnezzar was now reactivated, that's the soul of the Edomite, and he became completely aware. He lifted up his eyes, he saw his condition, and he says, and he made a proclamation, the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. He praised the God of heaven. Okay, a complete realization, okay, which is outside of the animal kingdom. So we see here, besides all these seven spirits, there's an eighth spirit of sleep, okay, which has brought about the trance of nature and the image of death. Okay, and with all these spirits of error, the eighth spirit, the spirit of sleep, is joined, okay, which is that of error and fantasy. This is the cursed imagination. The cursed imagination, okay, has to do with the self-justification. Okay, the self-justification outside, okay, of that which is holy and true and righteous. Okay, so perishes every young man, darkening his mind from the truth and not understanding the law of God, nor obeying the admonitions of his fathers, as befell me also in my youth, okay, as Reuben was bringing out there. Okay, but let's start in today's lesson, okay, which will be also marking out some interesting points, okay, about that defiled conscience, okay, and how the Apostle Paul, okay, was dealing with the Philippians here. We're going to pick up where we left off here last week. Okay, and he says, for I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Okay, that's in verse 23. Okay, that's where we left off last week. So here, the Apostle Paul understands the value of the stewardship. Okay, the value of the stewardship is to add, value and virtue to your faith. Okay, the value of the stewardship, you can understand its value, okay, is to add also virtue and fruit and virtue, okay, to your own experience and also define these things for you, okay, so that you can see these tokens which our fathers provided for us, the tokens which we talked about last week, okay, which has to do with that, which is the tokens of arousal. Okay, tokens of arousal. God put tokens of arousal, okay, in all nature from that which is, okay, the flowers, the releasing of the fragrance, the colors of the flowers, okay, which of course we see like hummingbirds, okay, are drawn to particular colors, as also bees are drawn to particular fragrances, okay, as also we see in the animal kingdom. We see the same powers transpiring over there concerning sound. The peeping of the turtle. I remember hearing the peeping of the turtle when I was in South Africa, okay, when I was meditating and praying, I kept hearing this peeping sound, okay, and I realized it's a turtle, okay, the turtle returned the very next year doing the same thing, okay, it was at the time of its mating, it was a mating cry, okay, and the turtle was peeping, okay, looking for its mate, Okay, and so we see the same thing, that the peeping, okay, was for the purpose of arousal. Okay? And when we pray in the Spirit, that's a token of arousal. The Holy Ghost attends upon these things. It is as attractive, okay, in the spirit world, okay, as the things of nature, okay, are in a natural world. Okay? We can see the parallel within that. So this would be a point of encouragement that using these tokens, which our Father has provided for us, okay, is for the purpose of mating, okay, mating, adding to your faith virtue, the virtue of righteousness, righteousness, temperance, and temperance, patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. Okay, because charity, okay, is that power or distributing power, okay, that brings and births all these other virtues within you. Okay, the same thing with the sperm and the egg. It carries a power with it for the purpose of, birthing and bringing forth, okay, a particular form and likeness of its parent. And these powers, these gifts, the gifts, the callings, the graces of God, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, and prophecy, okay, are all the fragrances of arousal of the spirit world that is of God's kingdom. Okay, of God's kingdom. Now, we know in the kingdom of darkness, they also have certain, points, okay, or tokens, okay, which they use for the purpose of calling forth, okay, the dead, okay, the spirits of the dead. Incantations, which the fallen watchers taught to the ignorant Adamites how to engage themselves with the other world. It was the tokens of the kingdom of darkness, okay, were keys to open into the spirit world, like astral projection. Okay, another example of that, which we can see was a popular show or a movie, okay, with this particular actress engaging herself, okay, within that kingdom, using certain tokens of that kingdom to project herself out of herself, to extend herself and gaining knowledge outside of herself. Nothing had to do with salvation. It had to do with curiosity. Okay, curiosity is not the key of entering God's kingdom. The covenant is the key, and that's in Jesus Christ. Okay, you will enter the kingdom of God only through the door which he provided as this point of access. In him. Okay, in whom? In Christ. Okay, so here he says, for I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better, he feels at this time. Okay, then having to endure this present condition, or contradiction, okay, and contrariness, which we face within these waters. The kingdom of these waters was designed by our Father for the purpose of this challenge of choice of will, by which it was fully displayed and made known and pressed upon your mind and your soul and seated within your conscience, okay, only to be awakened in this kingdom, okay, by the preaching of truth. Only the Holy Ghost can awaken that seed within the conscience and give you the tokens for this form of reciprocation to seal the soul in his salvation, the redemption of the soul, okay, and redemption of our body. For I am in strait between two, he says here, verse 23, having desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I mean, but God has assigned this for me at this present time. That is for your sake. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. When he says the flesh, he's not talking about the law, okay, nor the record of man, okay, but rather his bodily presence in this dimension, okay, as it also is with us. Our bodily presence is called upon in this present time to remain within this dimension until the time when the Lord receives us to himself, okay, and the rapture. Goes on here, and having this confidence, I like the word confidence there, or make a notation in your notepad, okay, and having this confidence, I mean, what God revealed, he chose for me for the purpose of this trust, to fulfill my stewardship and to benefit the saints, to fulfill the stewardship, to benefit the saints, okay, as Jacob's presence, okay, was a benefit to his children, okay, as a refuge and as a key, okay, the revelations which God provided for the stewardship, okay, was a key to their understanding the plan of God. You can see the church, the earthly church, is absent of the key. Okay, they try to use rubber keys in the imagination to try to open these, the locket to this understanding, the understanding of these mysteries. And they find out when they put the rubber key of the imagination into the door of this locket, all the key does is bend. Okay, it bends. Okay, but it gives them that particular thrill, trying to involve themselves in things which are too high for them. They're not called for this exploratory theology and try to unfold these mysteries. because the mystery is unfolded through your priesthood as you continue to abide in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Holy Ghost begins to unfold these mysteries through the working of regeneration, by which these things we rejoice in. As Paul brings out, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Okay, he's talking about the working of regeneration. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Okay, this is the presence of the Lord. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the Lord. This is Him. Okay, this is the face of the Lord in the involvement of your salvation. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you just at this present time. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all. Why would he want to do that? Well, he says here in verse 25, for your furtherance and joy of faith. So hide the word joy of faith there. Yeah, that is, has to do with the mobility, the furtherance of your joy of faith, the mobility and building with this power. Okay, achieving that goal. That which is pleasing to God. For we know that without faith it's impossible to please him. Okay, without faith it's impossible to please him. There is no token for arousal. Okay, outside of those things which our Father sanctified for the mating. Okay, we see that in the natural kingdom, certain tokens are provided for the purpose of arousal. Of course, it has to do with to be fruitful and multiply. Okay, a command right from our Father, which he gave to all creation. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay, he said it to the fishes, to the fowls, to the animal kingdom, to the cattle on a thousand hills. Be fruitful and multiply. Okay, in other words, utilize the tokens which have been provided. Okay, and by these things you shall multiply, so that you will be fruitful, within the dimension which I assigned for you. Now, if you want to be fruitful in the kingdom of God, then you have to use those invisible tokens which he sanctified for this increase. Okay, for the mating, for the increase. Okay, when you read the Song of Solomon, is a mystery and a parable which is romanticized, within the relationship between a king and a Shulamite woman. But also, King Solomon placed himself in the position of the woman as concerning the lily of the valley, the flowers of the field. Yeah, he actually placed himself within that perspective and regarding engaging within that relationship. So you can see how the anointing put him within that position, and writing this script for this divine play is also played out within our own relationship with God. As he has assigned us to be separate and unique for himself, prepared for his bed. We're prepared for his bed as the bride. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you, he says, verse 25. And having this confidence, we highlight the word confidence now, that those things which we trust in, we know that trust is molded through contact. Trust is molded through contact. By his mercy, we learn to trust him. And by his mercy, we learn his fear. Knowing that if our Father would withhold from us, we would die like a plant without water. But the grace of God is abundant towards those of faith. He cares for us as a watered garden, as the scripture bears that out. He cares for us as a watered garden, or as a planter on your patio. We take interest within that, concerning the measure of sunlight. Is it partial light? Is it full light? Or is it shade? Whereas the plant would be most prosperous in. How much water? Too much water would kill it, not enough would kill it. So everything is, we assign things and is particular, the environment which is favorable for it, as our Father also assigned for us. The assembly is that particular environment which our Father assigned, for the purpose of this multiplication. We multiply through his grace and truth. And the Father seeks such to worship him. That means to worship him has to do with not particularly as standing in the pew and singing a hymn. The worship has to do with the engagement. The whole form of engagement must be under his government, the eyesight of his government, his truth, his spirit. The things which he assigned for this rejoicing, the joy of the Lord. That your rejoicing may be more abundant. I like the word rejoicing there. He talks about the joy of faith in verse 25. The joy of faith, the mobility and building with his power, and achieving that joy or that goal, the joy of faith. That your rejoicing Now we know the joy has to do with a form of completion. It's a sign of completion, okay, as Jesus also explained to his apostles. I have given your word that they may be one even as we are one. And of course, Jesus goes on, okay, regarding that particular joy. Okay, and the joy has to do with a form of completion. The whole process comes to that one point. That point of completion of the redemption. Okay, the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of the glory of his grace. Okay, as Paul brings out in his epistle in Ephesians 1. Okay, to the joy of that redemption, the seal of that redemption. Praise of the glory of his grace, which is above all creation. Okay, the engrafting of the anointing within us has to do with this form of adoption for this inheritance, which he did not assign to the angels. The angels are servants of the Lord, called ministering spirits. Okay, they minister to us this knowledge and these gifts, okay, which are discussed within the throne of Arabat, okay, the seventh heaven, the throne and the courts of the seventh heaven, okay, Arabat. And there God issues, okay, his decrees, okay, and such issuing, okay, is put within great discussion between the holy ones and the watchers, the holy watchers, okay, discussing these things within the courts of the Lord. Okay, even the 24 elders we read about in Revelation, the 24 elders and the four beasts. Such things are handled with great care and wisdom. Those things which transpire for this divine adoption, whereby we become heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. Okay, inheriting the throne of our Lord. So he that overcomes or grant to sit with me in my throne, the eternal rest, sit with me in my throne. Okay, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. So this is his rejoicing, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. Okay, this is the intended goal, okay, of his divine presence here now, placing us within the non-linear kingdom. Our kingdom is not defined by linear things. Our kingdom is defined by, okay, non-linear things, the things which are in heaven. Okay, we're being defined by God. We have a new adoption and a new name. These are things which we reflect upon. Okay, now a pure conscience allows you this procedure, but a defiled conscience will be, okay, the boundaries of your own destruction. The defiled conscience keeps you within the restriction of the law. Okay, so those which live by the law will perish by the law. Okay, but they which be without law are judged without law, and we without law concerning the flesh, but not without law unto God. Okay, because we work within the restrictions of this covenant by the law of the Spirit, by that law of grace. And nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know, Paul says, writing to the Philippians under his stewardship, that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Verse 26. Okay, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Okay, this is the second benefit, okay, which he's bringing to their attention. Okay, now we can see about that second benefit if you go to 2 Corinthians 1:15. Okay, and I'll just jump over there quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Okay, we'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 here in a moment. Now, 2 Corinthians 1:13-15 says, for we write none other things unto you than that what you read or acknowledge, okay, and I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. This is our rejoicing in the testimony of our conscience. Okay, of course, I'm jumping up to verse 12. Now back to verse 14. Okay, by prayer for us, as also you have acknowledged us in part, okay, which he's acknowledging us, Paul, Timotheus, and Silvanus. Okay, when he says us, we, he's talking about, okay, the government, how the government benefits the people, the assembly of the saints. As you also have acknowledged us in part through these prayers, that we are also your rejoicing, even as you are also ours in the day of the Lord Jesus, when he rewards your faith. When he rewards your faith, you can see this process, okay, you can say the completion of your labor, okay, when he visits you in dreams or in visions or words of knowledge, okay, or okay, other experiences, those things which are assigned to us, okay, as the blessedness of Abraham. Now you look at the blessedness of Abraham, and you can see the experiences which unfolded within his, okay, engagement and communion with the Lord. Okay, how the Lord personally came to him, okay, on more than one occasion, speaking to him in dreams or speaking to him in visions, okay, and personally arriving and speaking to him. Okay, that's the blessedness of Abraham. Our Lord gave gifts to him by which Abraham received and reciprocated back to him again. Okay, so we see the cycle remain unbroken, and this set a precedence for us, which we call the Father Abraham, our Father Abraham. All those that are in covenant with Jesus Christ today are children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so we can see that the blessedness of Abraham is assigned to all those which are in covenant today, as it was assigned to him, which tradition was carried forth, okay, within each Enochian week and season and cycle, okay, which he appointed, even to the times of the judges and the kings and the prophets, okay, all those things which our Father assigned for the point of correction, okay, the edification, okay, and also the preservation of his people. So as you also have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as you are also ours in the day of the Lord Jesus, which you are also mine. Okay, as I pray for you, okay, I pray for the saints here more than one time a day. Okay, you are in my prayers, okay, as I'm also in your prayers. Now, as we pray one for another, okay, if all the saints take the responsibility, okay, our names are brought before the throne of God approximately over 100 times a day. Can you believe that? Over 100 times a day. Okay, your name is spoken of before the presence of our Lord. Okay, and taking notice of these things, he assigns the ministering spirits a reward. Okay, a reward. When the cycle is completed, okay, the light comes on. It's the same thing when in electricity. Okay, that's why you have two prongs, okay, on your cord there, which has to do with the receiving, okay, and the giving. Okay, the cycle is completed. Now, if there's only one prong, it wouldn't work. The light remains out. It has to be two-pronged. Our prayers are two-pronged, completing the cycle. So therefore, the anointing is living within you. The light is on. Okay, now let's look at verse 15, 1 Corinthians 1:15. And in this confidence here, as prayer for us, the unity of his grace, we build by his gifts. And in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that you might receive or have a second benefit. I thought that was interesting. A second benefit through the stewardship. Not only just through the letters, but through his divine presence. There's many times I wish I could travel abroad and visiting the brethren, okay, whereby we had, okay, the joy of fellowship. Okay, and I look forward to that joy of fellowship again. Okay, whereas we would assemble together, okay, the exchanging and fellowship of charity. Okay, the increasing of the knowledge of God. Okay, the fruit bearing, okay, by the Spirit. So in this confidence, I was minded to come unto you before that you might have a second benefit. Okay, that's the understanding, the true value of this relationship, which has to do with retaining Christ. In these things, you have remission of sin. Outside of them, there is no remission of sin. This is what Jesus was sharing with Peter. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted. Whosoever sins they retain, you retain. Now, the Lord Jesus was speaking these things to the stewardship. Okay? We can see these things, how they unfolded in the lives of the patriarchs. Whosoever sins they retain, they retain. Whosoever sins they remit, they are remitted. So those which transgress against God, their sins were retained. As Saul, his sins were retained, knowing that he rebelled. Rebelling against God by not accepting the stewardship of the second ram, the second Enochian ram, okay, revealed thousands of years before that revelation was a manifestation, before the invisible became the visible through David, as we see today concerning the invisible bride to the visible bride, which also unfolds, the unfolding of the visible bride, the face within the veil. Okay, now we're back in Philippians here. That your rejoicing may be more abundant. See, the word more abundant has to do with the fragrance of the garden sending forth more and more and more fragrance. Okay, the time of blossoming. I remember when we lived in California, we could smell the orange blossoms. When the weather, okay, the air currents would carry it many miles. Okay, the smell of the vineyards, okay, the orange vineyards, the blossoming. Okay, it was very pleasant. Hey, there's times too when we can see that even the fragrance of the tree of life permeates the holy city will be also diffused through the 12 gates, like which is similar to that Okay, which was also the incense lamp. The incense lamp is a parable of the diffusing of the fragrances, okay, of the blossoming of the tree of life through the 12 gates. Okay, and also your charity is also diffusing through the gate of your mouth, the language of the spirit, praying in tongues, level one prophecies. The sharing of these mysteries, okay, is the diffusing of the fragrance of Christ within you. Okay, and let's go back here. Okay, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Let's now go to 2 Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to look at some more things there. Okay, when he talks about, let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. Okay, so we're going to look over there for a moment, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Okay, we'll start here with verse 1. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. Okay, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, Paul said here, okay, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Okay, and it's the same thing, we can relate to that, as we have received mercy. Okay, the mercy is in his tools. The mercy is in his covenant. His mercy is his act and involvement. Okay, birthing within us the face of his son, Jesus Christ. Christ is being birthed within you. Okay, when Christ is birthed within you, okay, that begins with a foundation. And upon the foundation, okay, he begins to build and to beautify his divine work as the holy city, New Jerusalem. Your soul is to mirror the holy city, even as the mirrors of the women at the time of the construction of the tabernacle, okay, the women gave their mirrors, okay, the mirrors were melted down and put within plates, gold metal plates, okay, and put within the altar, so that they would see their face within the altar. The women would see their face within the altar. Okay, in other words, the bride sees her face in the mirror. Okay, we reflect Christ as face to face. But our face must be seen within the altar. And if we're seen within the altar, okay, then we pass through the courts to the throne. The courts of the temple to the throne. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Okay, so we can see that this knowledge is a spiritual DNA, okay, which is being formed within you, building upon first this foundation, the apostles. Okay, as we see the holy city built upon those 12 foundations, named, which names bear those, okay, of the apostles of the Lamb. That foundation, it has to do with knowledge. And now the apostle Paul doesn't have his name in the 12 foundations, but the knowledge he speaks is from that foundation. And it's the same thing today. Okay, not my name's not in the 12 foundations of the holy city, but my faith is, because we're building upon that foundation of truth, beginning with the stewardship and the government. So we have government, truth, and spirit. Okay, prayer, preaching, prophecy, the gifts and the callings and the graces of God. Okay, seeing then, now we're back in verse 1 here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, okay, the oversight of this mystery, okay, God called us apostles, Paul, Timotheus, and Silvanus. Okay, we, see the word we there. So that Paul is making a distinction, the government and the brethren. Okay, as the Levitical priesthood and the other tribes. So we have the government put within the priesthood and the other tribes. Okay, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, we faint not. This is the calling, a token and calling that we don't grow weak. We have strength to assist you in the change from glory to glory. Spiritual transformation is now happening. We faint not. Okay, we're going through the due process of birthing. Okay, we're pushing. Okay, and we're in travail and pushing. Okay, and when the process is completed, as it's also put within the birth of children, the mother doesn't remember the pain for the joy that a child has been born. Okay, and we can see the same thing when there's cycles of growth. But have renounced to him things of dishonesty, he says here. We refused Satan's tether. We refused his tether, nor to voice his aspirations. Okay, the earthly church there voices the aspirations of the kingdom of darkness. They voice the aspirations in their envy, in their strife, in their emulation, in their variance, in their oppression, in their principles. They voice the face of Satan. That's what we call the things of dishonesty. Okay, it's concealment of their own pride. They're trying to conceal their own pride through the voicing of the simulation. Okay, but that is an evident token of the defiled conscience. A defiled conscience shows that the soul is without a foundation of truth. If the soul is without the foundation of truth, the mirror is still in front of their face. It's not put within the altar. They're only looking at themselves. They're not seeing the altar. Okay, it's the priesthood that puts it within the altar. Okay, if they don't have a priesthood, the image is not within the altar. So therefore, they only see themselves. But when they willingly give of themselves, putting aside the aspiration, okay, then it's put within the altar, and their sacrifice is a sin pure before God. That is out of a pure conscience, okay, and a pure heart, in faith unfeigned. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, Paul said, not walking in craftiness. Okay, so he says here, the gospel which we preach is not designed after the record of our own soul. Okay, not walking in craftiness. It's not designed after our own soul. See the word craftiness there. Okay, craftiness has to do with certain skills, skill levels. Okay, we're not using our own soul as a skill level of building and bonding. Paul said he did, and we're not doing the same thing. We are not walking in craftiness. Okay, we're not handling the word of God deceitfully. You're not using it to promoting the aspiration. Okay, we're using it to promote fruit unto life. So that the seed will remain, okay, within the stewardship to be sown within the field for the hundredfold. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, as to promote our own light over the light of God. Okay, promoting our light over the light of God. The light of this world is deception. The light of this world, okay, is the aspiration of man. That's a false light. So Satan put value upon the aspiration of man. In other words, Satan lit the candle of the aspiration of man. Okay, and they look at that light. The world looks at that light. They rejoice in that light. But that's a false light. If that light be in you be darkness, and how great is that darkness? Okay, as Jesus brought to bear upon the understanding of the Pharisees. Okay, the deception is great. Okay, when you're walking in the light of your aspiration, this is a barrier to grace. The aspiration is a barrier to grace. And of course, the apostles bring that out in their epistles, as James, Chief Elder James and Chief Elder Peter bring out. Okay, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Okay, he's talking about concerning putting away the keys of the kingdom of darkness. Okay, so the adversary is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. How does he devour? Through the aspiration, the imagination, the principle. He takes the soul captive, okay, using yourself against you. Okay, so he says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. He's highlighted the word manifestation of the truth. We apostles may know openly known his record, laying that foundation of truth within you. Okay, which of course is witnessed by that anointing, which is heard in all the lips of the saints in the assembly, every man's conscience in the sight of God. Okay, the manifestation, which has to do with his record, is consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. His character, purpose, and plan has to do with the threefold cord. If any one of these is missing, his character is missing, then it's unwholesome. Or if you have character and purpose, but not the plan, then again, two-thirds means something's missing. Why do you think that the holy city, not the holy city Jerusalem above, but the earthly church, why do you suppose that the earthly church, Jerusalem, okay, is going to be divided into thirds? A third of the city shall collapse and fall, and 7,000 souls, or a tenth of the city there, and 7,000 souls will be lost. Why is God singling out that particular event there that will unfold during the middle of the seven-year tribulation, in the middle of the week? For this purpose, they don't have the threefold cord. Something is missing, whether it be the character of God, the purpose of God, or the plan of God. Okay, a lot of people focus on the character of God, but not the purpose or the plan. A lot of people focus on the purpose of God, okay, but leave out his character. Okay, leaving out his character, which has to do with his form of engagement with us, and the plan, which has to do with the eternal goal. So the purpose, if one of these threefold strands is missing with a threefold cord, the soul remains, okay, unhealed. Okay, it remains unhealed. The threefold cord must be present, which is called wholesome doctrine. Okay, we worship God with wholesome doctrine. The threefold cord tethered to the throne of God. Not one strand is broken. Okay, and that's because of the presence of stewardship. The strands remain strong. We can read about that within the epistles, which we're reading right now. And that says, but the manifestation of the truth. First, he says the word we, which is government. Next, he mentioned also manifestation of the truth, which has to do with the knowledge which he's presented. The conscience has to do with also the work of the spirit. We've got the government, truth, and spirit here. So we see the threefold cord manifesting itself here, which has to do with the goodness of God. Wholesomeness is the goodness of God, and all goodness and truth, okay, which has to do with the wholesomeness of God. All the ingredients are present, okay, so that there's no transgression within this practice. Okay, just like the ingredients, okay, all ingredients had to be present in the making of the incense, okay, and also of the anointing oil. So we see that the five ingredients had to be present for one, four ingredients and presence for the other. Okay, the anointing oil and the incense. You can add that up. Nine also represents this concerning the work of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. All these things are birthed through the anointing and the incense, which has to do with the preparation of truth and the releasing of the knowledge. Okay, so therefore, if I confess with my mouth, Lord Jesus, and believe in my heart that Jesus rose from the dead, I shall be saved. So therefore, that is good doctrine. Okay, that is good doctrine. That's wholesome. Okay, which has to do with, everything is present there, which will nurture the soul. Okay, so, but the manifestation of spirit, the truth here, committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Okay, in the presence of the assembly where the Lord visits with power. Now, for if a gospel be hid, if this mystery is concealed, when he says gospel, he's talking about, of course, Jesus, okay, the knowledge of Jesus, this mystery, the threefold cord, if any of this is concealed, if it's hid, why, who is it hid from? To them that are lost. Okay, the wandering believer, the wilderness believer. Okay, we are not wilderness believers because we're in the house of God. Now, the wilderness believer, okay, they're still looking for truth. They're still looking for truth. They're still trying to, bring about, accountability through their own form of government. Okay, they have self-appointed people that are putting themselves in a position. In other words, they're volunteering their skills, their intellectual skills or their knowledge skills. They're volunteering these things, hoping for a positive outcome. But they've been doing this thing for a whole generation. 40 years have passed, decade after decade after decade after decade. Okay, and each decade, they're looped to the same derision. They keep coming back to that same point, of trying to rectify the error of the past 10 years. So thinking that they have accomplished that goal, they proceed again onto the derision for the next decade and next 10 years. And so forth, to the point now, where God this is a preparatory stage of manifestation of the sons of God. Okay, where the true bride will be seen. The false bride has been identified. Okay, the earthly church. Okay, the earthly church, which has to do with the kingdoms of this world. Okay, the heads of the Hydra. The heads of the Hydra, which the mother of harlots rides upon. Notice that the mother of harlots is also wearing scarlet colored. Okay, as also the beast she rides upon is scarlet colored. Now, if you look at the holy city, New Jerusalem, the true bride of Christ, the colors of jasper join the wall to the foundation, which also our Lord's throne itself is of jasper and sardine stone, the color of a jasper and sardine stone. So we see the spirit as the color as jasper, as also the walls of the city are as jasper, and the foundation of the city, the beginning of the foundation of the city is as jasper. And the 12 foundations identify the signatures of man, as well as the government of God. Like the Jew and the Gentile coming together. So we're committing ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For if a gospel be hid, that is, the tidings of regeneration is our message, he's saying here. If a gospel be hid, which is tidings of regeneration, because he talks about the conscience, the tidings of regeneration is concealed, then of course we can see it's hid to them that are lost. They're still sleeping. They're still in the trance of the aspiration. For if gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. He's talking about believers. It's hid to them that are lost. Okay, and also those which are in the world, and whom the God of this world, those that are asleep, those which are asleep or in the trance of sleep, are put there by the angel of iniquity. Okay, they're only awakened upon the fragrance of his grace. If they smell the fragrance of his grace, they awaken, even as Lazarus was awakened there. When he heard, when The voice of the Lord echoed forth. Jesus is the voice of the Lord. Okay, and the voice of the Lord made that alive, which was dead. Okay, and we are also when we were dead in sins, we were awakened by the voice of the Lord, by the fragrance of his knowledge. And that the seed, the seed of that testimony is awakened within us. Okay, and now it's taking divine form through the truth. For God shall be hid as hid to them that are lost. Okay, in whom the god of this world, being Satan, put them to sleep by evil knowledge, has blinded the minds. Okay, he bent the perception, blinded their minds. He bent their perception. His victim's mind is their perception has been bent by false knowledge. He blinded the minds of them which believe not. Okay, being absent of faith in these things. In other words, the knowledge which they were building with was confounding the truth. Okay, it became a barrier to truth, confounded it. In other words, okay, they used the word, okay, the plural word truths, because it's identifying that they're using and resourcing knowledge from many different people. They wrote their thesis based upon their own discovery of certain scriptures, okay, not truth, but certain scriptures which bore out to them. Okay, and try to make a comprehensive truth, which we have conflict, which the false religious system has conflict in. Okay, concerning predestination is one of them. Okay, predestination or substitutionism. Okay, versus propitiation. Okay, they're looped in that derision, and God put them there. Okay, and the only way for them to escape the loop of that derision by which they're confounded, okay, by many different sources, which they called streams, by the way. They use the word streams as concerning resource. Okay, they believe all the streams are coming from different way, but they all run to the sea. Okay, in other words, it all will end in God's kingdom. And they're in great error thinking that. Because you say each denomination is being built on a different foundation and perspective. Okay, and you cannot take all these works of error and just come out with some kind of a creation which they want to call truth. So they use the word truths in the plural there to justify, see, the differences among themselves. Okay, and they even will say that, okay, we agree to disagree. That's about it. Okay, and that's not a bonding of the spirit. Okay, that's the spirit of error. Okay, for if the gospel be hid, as hid in their loss, in whom the god of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Okay, they're not working with the covenant nor the stewardship. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That means when the sun arises in them, to awaken the seed, okay, and giving life to the soul. Okay, for we preach, now the apostle Paul writing this, he believed that that the light was shining in his soul. He believed that, and he was correct. How do we know he was correct? How does he know he was correct? Because he was acknowledging the chief elder. He acknowledged the chief elders, and apostle Peter, and James and John. Okay, he acknowledged, he worked with, he built with, okay, on that one foundation, okay, which they received. He built with that, and the anointing gave witness to that through the many visitations of the Lord. The work of regeneration, the witness from above, was a crowning factor, okay, of his peace. And that's why he begins his epistles. Grace, mercy, peace be unto you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Okay, grace, mercy, peace be multiplied unto you, as Peter brings out. Okay, so this is the witness which is from above, okay, works the divine nature, okay, within you. See, Apostle Paul had all confidence, and I have all confidence. You can have all confidence that the knowledge that you have received, okay, is not the testimony of man, okay, which is a record of one's own soul, okay, in perspective, okay, but rather in truth, it is a record of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you can rejoice in that. Okay, the peace of God will rule, okay, will rule you in these things. Okay, the peace of God will rule you, not guilt. The peace of God will rule you. Okay, guilt rules the defiled conscience. The peace of God rules the righteous. Okay, for we preach not ourselves, which I just brought out to you. Our message is not the letter of one psychology, okay, or guilt, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Now he says Christ Jesus. You can highlight that in verse 5 as you get your sacrifices ready here. can hide the word Christ Jesus there. Again, he's identifying your priesthood will preserve you if you build with this knowledge. Okay, allow your charity to be that which is sanctified, justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it's by his Spirit, by Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Okay, and that is our stewardship. Our stewardship is to serve you this divine bread. Okay, not the bread of the soil, okay, but the bread which is from above. Now, Jesus made those distinctions, okay, and we can also have confidence within those distinctions today, that the bread which you have received is not that which is born of the soil, okay, or the aspiration of man, which is his composition is of the soil, okay, but rather that which is from above, that which is the Spirit, okay, that which is eternal. For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, okay, as the Apostle Paul reflects upon the book of Genesis, since the very beginning, God created light and darkness. Okay, what did he do? He divided the light from the darkness. Okay, dividing light from the darkness, he also divided the firmament from the firmament. Okay, making distinctions in space between the heavens, the seven heavens. Okay, and also we can see he divided, you can see, from that point on, we can see the gospel, continually reflects upon that division between the sheep and the goats, between the wheat and the tares, between the clean and the unclean, and between the holy and the profane. We can see these things also in the book of Revelation. Nothing that bear resemblances, any resemblances of that which is defiled, that which is retained in darkness, will not be allowed in the holy city, New Jerusalem. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels at this present time that we can see the face of the Lord with. We apostles have given this to you, which shows these are the holiness. Holy knowledge is the true valuable treasures because it possesses the value of eternal life. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the human body now is atomized, that the excellency of the power, you notice here, the effects of this process increases only by the anointing. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's not any kind of manipulation of our logic or to subvert this holy knowledge, to upset your soul. To subversion, the knowledge of this world upsets the soul, because it continually tries to rectify the defiled conscience. It tries to build a justification for the aspiration. But we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ only. We're only free from sin, that's just the kingdom of Satan, and from that and from those judgments, the judgments of God's wrath, only because of our faith in the covenant. Your faith in the covenant is saving your soul from the destruction that's about ready to come upon this whole world. All right, so now we'll go back to Philippians here for a moment, so we can put your marker here, because we're going to be right back. We'll be jumping right back over to Corinthians here in a moment. Back in Philippians, verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Jesus Christ. The token gifts is what we communicate. The tokens of his propitiation, freeing us from the kingdom of darkness and the house of sin, and because we've been adopted, into the house of his righteousness, into the light of God's kingdom, and I may hear of your affairs, the choices that you have made, that you stand fast in one spirit. I like the word one spirit. You're not a robot because you speak charity. The world parrots their ignorance. But the righteous speak charity. We speak it from the foundation of truth. And that's why he says, one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We're all laboring for that one goal. When you don't confirm their aspirations, they consider you dead to reality. When you don't confirm their aspirations, they consider you dead to reality. But they're the ones that are dead to God. That's right. Their reality is living in their imagination. But our reality is living in Christ, who is the true reality. He is our creator. This is what Paul's bringing out here, that you stand fast in one spirit. You don't remove your confidence now is not to remove your foot from this altar, which is anointing confirms. It is here that we bear that same perception, as we are diligently laboring now with the holy knowledge, which is the true gospel. True gospel has to do with that which is the original pattern. But Jesus Christ is our record. Jesus Christ is the original pattern. Nothing of Adam's frailty, okay, is viewed within that, because Jesus rose from the dead victoriously. He rose from the dead. Death cannot contain him. Okay, so nothing terrified by your adversaries. He goes on here. We'll be jumping over there in a second. Nothing terrified by your adversaries. So don't be moved by their boasting. We're not confirming their aspirations. So he says here, if you pine away and say nothing, then they're going to shout even louder to humiliate you. If you pine away, they're going to shout louder to humiliate you. Okay, so nothing terrified by your adversaries. Okay, the truth is in you. So as much as lies within you, okay, is what you share. Okay, what you bake in your kitchen is what you eat. Okay, what you labor with, okay, is what you serve. So nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is them an evident token of perdition, but to you a salvation, that of God. Okay, because the purging of our soul is based on these conditions of our adoption. Okay, adoption into his kingdom, okay, and that of God. So we bear the true tokens of the King of Glory. Okay, we talk about the King of Glory, which you can make a note on this now. Okay, in Psalms 24, 1 through 10. For unto you it is given on behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him here, because God elected you for this path. Remember, our Father, before the world was created, okay, had already determined to sacrifice his Son for our redemption. Before the world was created. Okay, so we can see that this was the intention of our Father, okay, from the beginning of our existence, a choice of will for reward, a choice of will for adoption, a choice of will for your internal inheritance, okay, to carry on a divine tradition through all dimensions, creating and expanding the house of our Father. Okay, this is his joy, okay, and his joy is our joy. Because when he's happy, we're happy. And when a king is happy, he gives gifts. Okay, we can read about that in the book of Esther. Okay, in the book of Esther there. Okay, a happy king, okay, gives gifts. Okay, an angry king takes them away. Okay, and when a king is angry, heads begin to roll. Okay, as happened with Haman. Okay, for unto you it is given behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, we are taking on the yoke of this knowledge, but also to suffer for his sake, to endure the contradiction for choice of will. It's all choice of will. It has nothing to do with your race or your culture or your tradition. It has to do with choice of will. Okay, that if you will to serve him through the terms of the covenant, then Jesus is your Lord. If Jesus is your Lord, okay, the divine nature takes form within you to birth his likeness. Okay, and to birth his likeness identifies you with his house. Okay, but also to suffer for his sake. We don't use the world, the scales of this world for our boasting. We use the scale of God for our humbleness of mind. Okay, so therefore we cast our crowns before him. Okay, humbleness of mind. Let's jump over there too quickly now for last verse as we close. Get ready to close in 2 Corinthians 4:1. Or 4:11, I mean. Okay, for we which live are always delivered to death. Okay, which has to do with we've been put into this environment for the purpose of bringing forth fruit. For we which live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. That's for the process to be completed. Okay, because he put this power within this dimension for the birthing. For we which live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. That's what means the power of birthing. That the life also of Jesus, that is which the anointing will sustain us while we live here, might be manifest in our mortal flesh. Isn't it interesting? Might be manifest in our mortal flesh, the invisible to the visible. Manifest is visible. Manifest in our mortal flesh. Invisible to the visible. From the invisible to visible. Everything which the Father brought within this dimension first existed in the invisible kingdom. Then our Father said, let there be light. In agreement with the decision which he had made previously, okay, was now going to be manifested upon this request. Okay, and it brought forth those things which our Father, okay, he already predetermined it. Okay, it was predetermined, pre-created, okay, with another dimension being invisible. Okay, so it might be manifest in a mortal flesh. Okay, though in the presence we might appear weak and be as any other Adamite in appearance. Okay, but in spirit, okay, we bear resemblances of the children of God. This is the true gospel, which is despised by those that seek the honor of man and the praise of the world. So then, death works in us, but life in you, because we're crucified with Christ. I'm travailing in birth now for the purpose of bringing this baby out into the open, okay, which is concealed with all the working of the powers of the invisible kingdom. Okay, will be revealed with that same anointing, okay, and heard in the voice of stewardship. So that death works in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, verse 13, we are both of his apostles, Timotheus, Silvanus, and those that believe in the bonding of this anointing. Okay, this is to please God. Okay, having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. Okay, that is, I submit to this yoke of knowledge and confirm Christ into my charity. I believe, and therefore have I spoken. Okay, we also believe and therefore speak, all serving the same thing. We're all one mind and one heart and one mouth, glorifying God, knowing that he, which is God now, which raised up the Lord Jesus, okay, which means awaken the dead to walk uprightly. Now, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus, releasing the fragrance of the flower, shall raise up us also by the same divine process in harmony with him, shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you to mirror this wonder in one another. To mirror this wonder in one another. All things are for your sakes, he says in verse 15. What all things? These gifts, these tokens of power, why, they're given for this goal, the goal of his joy in you. For the thanksgiving may redound. I like the word redound there in verse 15. That's in 2 Corinthians 4:15. May redound. The process continues to go upward. Okay, it goes to the soil and reaped in the harvest to go into the mouth. Okay, to go to the soil and to be reaped to the soil for the harvest and, you know, for the oven, for the bread, for the mouth. Okay, the cycle is completed to sustain your faith. And he goes on here. Okay, last verse here, we're going to end. For all things are for your sakes, so the abundant grace, see the word abundant grace there, we talked about that earlier, the outflow of this revelation, okay, will indeed be received by our oral appreciation. This is our goal, or this oral appreciation, verbal appreciation, put it that way. For all things are for your sakes, so that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Okay, so the cycle repeats itself in us, okay, but also increases as more is added by the brew of the stove, basically by the ingredients put within the pot. Okay, we smell the meal throughout the whole house, okay, or the whole temple. Okay, and the Lord smelling this, you see, makes his presence known.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ersick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.